All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Promontory Commerce Center Public Infrastructure Districts 1, 2, and 3. Today is March 3rd, 2026. It's 2:04 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if you could state your name for the recording and record, we'll start with the board, not in any particular order. Brad, you want to start?
Sure. Brad Margetz.
Garrett Hansen.
Daniel Stevens.
Dallin Curran, not a board member, just attending.
Matt Entz with Snow Jensen and Reese District Council.
All right, that's everyone I show that's on the call. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, any members of the public there?
No.
Okay. All right, board, first up, our board meeting minutes held on July 22nd, 2025, the last collective board meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate? If you need me to put them up, I can.
If you don't mind, just real quick.
Okay.
I don't have them in front of me.
Let me find.
Unless Brad or Daniel does, but I don't
know. Let's take a quick look at them. I'm sure they're fine, but.
It's been a few years, right? Or a year, I should say.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like we went through the board meeting minutes back then, and then we went through amendments to the governing documents, looks like a year ago. And that was pretty much it.
This was the meeting that we expanded the boundary, I think.
Yeah.
So motion to approve.
Great. Thanks, Daniel.
Second.
I second that.
Going to give it to Brad, Garrett. Sorry.
Dude, Brad, the sly dog, to. Dude.
Brad slipped in there on you. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, next up's the resolution. So, Matt, do you want to walk through that for us?
Yeah, it's really straightforward. As I think all of you know, the County Commission this morning approved the amendment to the governing document, which allows District 1 to overlap Districts 2 and 3 because we're just doing the assessment bonds in District 1. So this resolution is just your approval of that amendment to the governing document. The state law and the governing document itself requires a resolution from the creating entity, which is the county, and a resolution from you as the board of the district. So it's basically just outlines, goes through the key dates and things, and then you approve the amendment. And actually, Michael, I can put the amendment up real quick,
okay,
too, just as a reminder what it says. Let's see. So here's the amendment. It's the third amendment because we had two previous amendments addressing the annexation area. So this is the third. This shows some edits that the county made to our initial draft, which we had no objection to. So it discusses the purpose of the second amendment, which is to, or this should say third, actually. Let me fix that. Third amendment. Purpose of the third amendment is to facilitate District Number 1 issuing bonds. The actual changes to the governing document are limited to these two sections. It revises the overlap limitation to allow for PID 1 to overlap the other two PIDs. It also revises the maximum debt mill levy language, which adds some language saying that PID number one has no authority to levy a property tax where it overlaps PIDs 2 and 3. But PIDs 2 and 3 still retain the power to levy a property tax. So you still have that option available for the future. So that's basically it, unless there's any questions.
No questions on my side. I kind of monitored this throughout the whole process. So motion to approve.
Great. Thanks, Daniel.
I second that.
Thanks, Garrett. All those in favor say aye.
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 Right, that's unanimous. Let me pull up the two. We'll start with the infrastructure. Not payment application. That's the infrastructure. Okay. So you guys have already approved these two agreements, but after talking with Matt, we both felt like it would be a good thing to go back and just reapprove some updated versions, just some small tweaks, nothing really substantial. So this one's probably the most important of all the agreements for the district. It's the infrastructure acquisition. It's how you're going to get the money back as the development group from the district. So this just lays it out. Matt, anything you want to cover specifically in this?
Maybe just real briefly, the process of getting reimbursement from the PID funds is really not that complicated. There's a couple of forms that need to be completed to
I've
request.
got that, Matt.
You got that? Okay. So one of those is an exhibit to this agreement. It's Michael's going to pull it up here. It's this application for payment or reimbursement of eligible costs. So, and I should be clear here, we're just talking about bond proceeds, right? The ARPA funding has a separate process, which I know you've been talking to the county about. But for the bond proceeds, once the bonds are issued, this is the process that we'll use. So this form is basically for whatever party is seeking payment, and that could be your development entity seeking reimbursement for costs already spent. It could be, say, you have a contractor working on the public improvements and they've completed a portion of the public improvements and you want them to be paid directly out of bond proceeds. This works for that also. But if you ever have any questions about that, how to properly do it, you can let us know. The payee seeking payment will complete this form. They'll sign it. They'll mark whether they want to get paid with a check or a wire transfer. There will be attached to this any supporting documentation. So, invoices, engineers' estimates, anything like that that supports the amounts requested. And then there's a second form that we'll have once. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is really important. So I don't want to miss this. This includes an engineer's certification. And what this does is by law, the district is required before it pays out any funds to have a professional engineer certify that the public improvements being paid for are eligible under the law to be reimbursed or paid for by the PID. And so for each of these requests, an engineer will need to sign and complete this form. This can be your project engineer. If you have a project engineer who's familiar with the project, we have had other districts that have used a third-party engineer. And actually, now that I think about it, I think we already have the connection group involved in the bond transaction. If I remember correctly, forgive me if this isn't correct,
That's
but
correct.
yeah, okay.
That sounds right.
I thought so. Yeah. So this will be completed and signed by the connection group on behalf of the district every time there's a request for reimbursement or payment. And that's really important that we have that. Then in addition to this, there's another form. It's really simple, but it's a form that will be part of the bond documents. And it's just a form that the trustee requires. So the bank holding the bond funds requires it to be completed and signed by a district officer. So those two forms together with any of the supporting documents and then payment instructions, wire transfer information, et cetera, that is the requisition request packet. And that's what goes to the bond trustee bank in order to actually disperse funds. So that process is all laid out in this agreement that you're approving today. The agreement also, one of the things we did when we crafted this agreement is we made it so that any of your improvements that are already covered by an engineer's estimate that's used to issue the bonds are actually considered approved and essentially eligible costs because we're going to attach that engineer's estimate to this agreement. And what that does is it relieves you from having to come and have a board meeting every time there's a request for reimbursement. So anything that we, is part of the initial planned infrastructure that is planned to be paid for with the bond issuance, that's all going to be covered. And that'll be this exhibit, developer guaranteed infrastructure. We'll attach that engineer's estimate that supports the bond issuance here. And then essentially all of those costs will be deemed approved for reimbursement by the board. Later, if something changes, let's say that your direction on the project changes, maybe your phasing changes, there's some redesign or something, and the public improvements are different, then we would have the board come back and approve the reimbursement for those changed public improvements. So there's still flexibility. This isn't set in stone, but we try to get as much of this approved up front so we don't have to have you come back, multiple times to reapprove this. So that's sort of the short version of the process, and I'm happy to answer any questions about it if you have them.
The one thing I would say, just so that you guys aren't worried over here, where it talks about any supporting documents, you don't have to have all of these. It's only the ones that are applicable. So if you guys want somebody to get paid directly and have them get it, we just need a W-9. Once we get it the first time, then the trustee has it on hand. But then after that, it's only, like Matt said, it's only the things that are applicable here. I don't want you to think you have to have a bunch of stuff to go along with the requisition that Matt was talking about. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The only things that are non-negotiable is you have to have this form signed and completed by the payee, and you have to have the engineer's certification, which is that third page. And that's why there's X's next to those, is because those are always going to be included. Everything else there is basically, it's a list to give you an idea of what kinds of things could be supporting documents for any particular requisition.
That's super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having the connection group will help tremendously because they're familiar with this form. They know how to fill it out. So that'll work great. And the stuff they provide in their cost certification, which is something they will send with every one of them, that will have the supporting documentation that the trustee is going to want to see. So having them's a good thing. All right, so let's get back. The one thing I will need, was there a change in the development group of who we need to list or the development entity? Otherwise, I'll just list what we approved back a year ago.
It should be PCC Land. You may have had GBP PCC. That's the manager of PCC Land, but the person that actually owns the land is PCC Land.
Okay, is that LLC? Is
Yeah.
it? Okay. I'll list that then as I send it over. So Daniel and Garrett, you'll look after this meeting. You'll get a couple share file emails from me, which is just signatures for the two agreements. So, all right. So what I need then would be a motion to approve the infrastructure acquisition and reimbursement agreement.
Motion to approve.
Thanks, Garrett.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Brad. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, the next is administrative funding and reimbursement agreement. Again, you guys have already approved this. We just wanted to update it just in case anything had changed. This one's pretty much a backstop as a just in case agreement. So, Matt, do you want to go into a little further detail?
Yeah. Yeah, the main purpose of this agreement is really to make sure that the district has the resources that it needs to operate. There's a certain amount of administrative expense that the district will have for things like, legal and management costs, which is what we do. You'll have district accounting costs, you'll have engineering costs with Connection Group. After this year, starting next year, you'll have an annual third-party audit that needs to be completed. And so, those are going to be ongoing costs for the district. The first 2 to 3 years of those costs are going to be covered by there will be a working capital fund in the bond proceeds. And the idea is that, for the first couple of years, it's anticipated maybe you have a lower amount of revenue. Maybe you haven't ramped up to your full, your full development and full sales strategy. And so for that first couple of years, the bond proceeds will cover those costs. And then after that time period, it's projected that the district will have enough revenue to cover those costs on its own. But there's always the possibility that a couple of things happen. Maybe there's some unexpected costs in the first couple of years. Maybe, development doesn't ramp up as quickly as expected, and so there's a bit of a gap that needs to be covered. And that's where this agreement comes in. This is basically the developer agreeing that it will step in and cover the district's operating expenses. And the district agrees that anything that the developer has to subsidize the district essentially will be treated as a loan from the developer. It'll have an interest rate applied to it, which by default, we put a 6% rate on it, which that can change if you guys want to see a different rate. And then it's repaid in the future by the district once it has the revenue sufficient to do the repayment. So that's basically this agreement in a nutshell. Michael, did I miss anything?
No, that covers it up to 200,000. And again, this is just a backstop, just in case the district has enough, doesn't have enough money to pay those. The only other administrative cost Matt didn't cover is insurance.
Oh,
So
yeah.
the district has to have its own insurance. We also have a crime policy, which is basically like a treasurer's bond. If something were to happen, Brad, you make off with some of the district's money as the treasurer, then the district would be covered by that crime policy. Crime
Okay.
policy actually covers all of the board members, so we just have to have that as part of the administrative costs as well.
Yeah,
Are the
makes sense.
specific details of exactly what is needed in this document so we can get going on that?
When you say specific details, tell me
Like
what you mean.
deductible limits, whatever the details are needed versus just get a crime policy, right? Usually there's thresholds and payout maximums, et cetera.
Yep.
I'm
So
assuming.
it's not in this document, Garrett. It will be in the term sheet that we get from Utah Local Governments Trust. All of that information will be in there. I don't know off the top of my head, maybe Christy can remember, but we'll get that all laid out and we'll send it over to you guys to make sure you guys have a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I would just like to obviously have a runway to make sure
Sure.
everything's lined up. That's all.
Yep, sure.
Thank you.
Okay, I will also do the PCC land as the entity on this one as well. So, okay, if there's no other questions, can I get a motion to approve the administrative funding and reimbursement agreement?
I motion to approve.
Thanks, Garrett.
I'll
Second.
second.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Gotcha.
I was going to say, Brad, my light flipped on for Daniel first. All
That's funny.
right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's unanimous. All right. Those are the items that I show on the agenda. Do you guys have anything for us?
One question that came up as I was talking to Ariane from the Inland Port, she talked about how the PID. I should talk to you guys about the PID engaging a municipal advisor, I think is the word that she used.
Yes.
Yep. Is that a thing? If so, what? I mean, she introduced us to Zions Bank. There, I guess they were selected by the Inland Port to be over all of their areas. So, can you walk us through that and what we need to do?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you want me to take that one, Michael?
Sure.
Yeah, so the municipal advisor is just a third party advisor that comes in and essentially at the time of the bond closing, they issue an opinion. Which states that the terms, we call it a pricing certificate, But it basically
Basically.
just states that the terms of the bond to be issued are, consistent with current market conditions and they're reasonable, et cetera, et cetera. And so if we don't, I'd have to check to see if Zions has been involved in the transaction so far. If they're not, then they certainly will be. It's actually a state code requirement now that every PID have a municipal advisor give a pricing certificate at bond closing.
Yes.
So that actually may already be in process. And we've worked with Zions many times. They do a great job with this, and it's just kind of a cost you have we have to include. The cost of the pricing certificate is paid by the bond proceeds. So
Yeah.
they
Okay,
are
she.
not listed, Matt, in the what
Okay.
I see.
So we can reach out to our contact there. Jonathan Ward is who we've worked with most often. We can reach out to him and of course copy the underwriters as well, and just make sure that everybody's on the same page about bringing them on.
Yep.
But they have a very narrow role. It's just to issue that pricing certificate.
That's it. It's a
Yes.
one-time thing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
one-time thing.
So Jonathan Ward and Jeanette Harris is who Ariane introduced Dallin and I to.
Yeah,
Okay.
we know
Yep.
Jonathan.
And
Jonathan's a great guy.
it sounds like they're willing to review docs and stuff like that too. But anyway, I think we're getting close. I think we're gonna try to kick off the 30-day lockout period sometime in the next little bit. So we probably should get him on board.
It'll
I've got
and
a call into him already on a different matter, so I'll just bring that up when I talk to him.
Okay.
yeah, and that 30-day period will kick off when we have the board meeting just after the annexation certificate is issued. So
Okay.
that's kind of what we're waiting for. Is as soon as we have that annexation certificate, we can have that board meeting, and that'll and there's some posting that has to happen in conjunction with that, but that's when it will kick off.
Good. Okay, great. That's all I
Okay.
have.
All right. Matt, do you have anything?
Nope, I think we covered everything on my list.
Okay. So, last thing I would need then is a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks,
Second.
Garrett. Thanks, Daniel. All those in favor say aye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's unanimous. All right, Garrett and Daniel, if you guys will look.